Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Let me start with, I'll read and then I'm going to pray. Verse 1 says, in the book of Lamentations, how doth a city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how has she become tributary? Talking about Jerusalem here. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. We ask God that you'd empower the preacher, hide him behind the cross. We need to hear from heaven. Lord, more than anything that's going on in this world today, we need to hear from heaven. Lord God, would you get our attention? May our hearts hear the scripture. May our hearts not be hard, but open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, taking the holy word of God right out of the book of Lamentations and ministering and speaking to our hearts. God in heaven, we know you're our only hope. And so, Lord, we call upon you this morning. For everyone here that is born again, we're so grateful for salvation. So grateful for Jesus and what he did on the cross, that we might be born into and adopted into the family of God. And Lord, if there's someone here or someone listening or someone viewing by way of live stream and they're not born again, maybe they know some language, some of the lingo, but they're not born again. We pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would touch them. Lord, would speak to their heart, and they'd call out to you today the best way they know how. May they be serious. May it be a God-conscious moment. May there be a repentance from sin and sorrow and a calling upon the only Savior, the Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for all you're going to do right here in the church house this morning and everyone watching. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Unless you're a preacher that tries to stay in tune with God, and I do, I make every attempt. You don't know what I'm talking about when I say this, but I wrestled with God all week long. I wrestled with God. I thought I had a message on Tuesday morning, and it changed. I'm not exaggerating. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Allow me a little hyperbole. 100 times this week. 100 times I wrestled. Then yesterday morning, I got up just before I sent out the prayer alert and said, okay, God, I know what it is. And before I was done with my prayer time yesterday morning, early yesterday morning, I didn't know what it was again. And I kept wrestling with God. It is a fearful thing to handle the word of God. And every preacher of the Bible better have a handle on that and better know that. And the one thing I want to do this morning, I want to bring to you God's people right here at Fundamental Baptist Church, our church family, I want to have the message that God would have for this church this morning. And so I wrestled all day yesterday. I watched a little football. You know what I was thinking about the majority of the time? What am I going to preach? I had no peace about what I was going to preach. I got up this morning and I was wrestling again. I actually thought, you know how I love preaching? I actually laid in bed this morning at 5:15. I looked at my clock at 5:15 and said, God, I don't know what to preach. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to get up. Maybe you can make me sick. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe God, you can make me sick this morning. Maybe you give me a fever here in the next hour. I actually prayed that. And then I don't know why. I don't know what I'm supposed to be preaching. And then when I got over here this morning, and I'm here on my knees at the altar during another prayer time here this morning, God said, son, you need to preach the word that I gave you on Tuesday morning. And here's what I said to God. But God, it's undeveloped. I'm really unprepared. I just spent that little bit of time on Tuesday morning. And that was a lot of days ago. And he said, you just preach what I laid on your heart on Tuesday morning. So here we are. It's the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations is a cry of anguish for the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Here's what had happened. I'm going to read 3 verses. I'm going to give you some background. And I'm going to try to make it very applicable. We're going to chapter 3 here this morning. But here is what happened. Jerusalem, Israel, had been out of sorts with God. And God was punishing Jerusalem for her sins. God was chastising his own people for their sins. We read about it in Jeremiah 25 and Ezekiel and chapter 21. And the city of Jerusalem had been laid siege upon by the nation Babylon. And this had been going on for months and months and months. And Jerusalem ends up in deplorable conditions. And Jerusalem, the city that was once the apple of God's eye, the prince among all the cities of all of the earth, is now lying in ruins and had become an abominable kind of thing. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who had warned God's people again and again and again that judgment was coming unless they followed the Lord God Jehovah, and they laughed him off. He's known as the weeping prophet. Got very little results. He cried. The book of Lamentations is a cry. It's from Jeremiah, who, by the way, was in prison during the siege, and then ends up not going to Babylon, but staying right there in the city of Jerusalem in its ruins. It says in verse 1, how doth a city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her, and all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Let's stand one more time. Everyone standing. Let's look to heaven real quick. Father in heaven, we know that the nation in which we live is at the edge of judgment, precipice. God, we know that these are those days when the rapture of the church is going to take place. And you're going to take over in this world to bring Israel back to God. There's some great messages and lessons taught in these chapters of Lamentations. And God, I pray that you would just help us to get our minds around it. And Lord, call out to you and be thankful, just as Jeremiah did. And God, we know that everything is in your hands. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. You may be sitting here this morning, and we just finished the Thanksgiving season. And I tried to go in that direction multiple times this week in different passages of Scripture. And I wrote down messages, you know, outlines and little thoughts and scribblings all over the place in different passages of my Bible. But as you know, God has brought me back here to the book of Lamentations. It might be that you're sitting here or watching by way of live stream, and you're saying, preacher, what have I got to be thankful for? I sat alone on Thanksgiving Day. I had no family. My job stinks. I spend most of my time in a drunken stupor or high on drugs. I've alienated most of my friends. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, the world is teetering on the edge of World War III, and you're telling me I need to be thankful. Teeming millions and even billions of people are preparing their lives and their souls to burn forever in the pits and the caverns of hell. Those fiery pits, because they're lost and undone and in need of Christ. And you're saying, what do I have to be thankful about? I'll tell you what you have to be thankful about. God's Son visited this earth 2,000 years ago. God the Father looked down from heaven and saw the condition of the world and that man was in a hopeless state. And he sent his only begotten Son, and his only begotten Son came of his own fruition and his own will, fulfilling God the Father. And Jesus hung on a cross and bled out so that sinners could go to heaven. I'll tell you how much you got to be thankful for. There's a God in heaven that loves you this morning. There's a God in heaven that sent heaven's best so that you could go to heaven one day. And not only you, every man, woman, and child on the earth, if they'll just come to Calvary, come by way of the cross. That's how much you've got to be thankful for. And you think about that just a little bit. It says here in chapter 3, if you'd turn over there real quickly. By the way, ingratitude has got to be the most heinous, self-centered abomination of a sin that has ever been committed here on this earth, and it's committed every day by God's children, people that are born again. Not thankful for what God has put on their plates. Not thankful for what God has done for them. The prophet Jeremiah, he's looking around, and for the first two chapters, man, he's lamenting. He's looking at Jerusalem and remembering what it was, and he could be saying this, but he didn't. He could be saying this, I told you so. I told you so for years. I preached and told you what was going to happen, but you just kind of went along, la, 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 la. Everything is just fine, and you turned your back on Jehovah God from heaven, and he rose up the Babylonian Empire, and they come and they besieged the city. and your little ones, and tens of thousands of Jews were deported 800 miles to the city of Babylon. Jeremiah was not one of them. He was left behind for whatever reason. I am not sure, but he was left behind, and he writes this book of Lamentations, and for two chapters, he's lamenting. He's grieving over the condition of Jerusalem. If you're a spiritual person, you've got any kind of spiritual insight, you look at America and you grieve. The glory hath departed. It's Ichabod all over the place. It's people that have turned their back on God willfully. It's people that are just kind of trotting and skipping down the path of life and full of glee and living in self-pleasure and sin. And they don't understand. They don't understand the message of the Bible. They don't understand what's going on in the generation in which we live. And I'll tell you, the prophet looked around and it was like it was a hopeless situation. And here's what the prophet, he came to a conclusion. There is one word that is the answer to all of man's problem. That one word works for you and for me today. It works for every generation. And the fact is that one word is this: mercy. Mercy. Definition of mercy: compassion, unmerited forgiveness given by one who has the power to forgive. That is Jesus. The only hope for Jerusalem was the mercy of God. Not a one of us here this morning deserves salvation. Mercy is the only reason we got salvation. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Look at chapter 3, if you would. Chapter 3, verse 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. America's society today is just like Jerusalem of old, is an affront to the mercy of God. God, with his hands held open wide, is offering mankind salvation, grace, but mercy. None of us deserve salvation, but he offers to us mercy. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. He's talking about the condition of Israel. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Darkest days of humiliation. That's what Israel was suffering. That's what Jerusalem was suffering. My flesh and my skin hath he made old, and he hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and with travail. He hath set me in dark places, and they that be dead, as they that be dead of old. He said, he looked around Jerusalem, he said, it's like a grave. It's like people that have been dead of old. And you look at America today and spiritually dead. That's where the country is. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. No hope. The only thing we could get, the only way that we could have any kind of hope would be from an outside source. I bring you back to the word mercy. He says, and when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. I'm a target. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul afar off from peace. I forget prosperity. What a description. Jeremiah the prophet says, I forget what it's like to prosper. I'm so far removed from God. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Pretty dark place. I have failed Jesus again and again and again. But Jesus has never failed me. I want to say this again. Nobody deserves salvation. How many in here in the auditorium this morning, you can say, hey, I'm born again. Say amen. Amen. All right, say, I'm born again. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm as good as there already. And if you don't know that and you can't say that, then you get to the place where you can. And by the end of the service this morning, I'll give you opportunity to trust Christ. But if you couldn't say amen, you don't deserve that salvation. You don't deserve the heaven that God has prepared for you. You know why you're going there? One word. Mercy. Mercy. from the one who can forgive. Let's read on here. I got a few things I want to point out and make it as strong as I possibly can. Verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the prophet that knew the judgment of God upon his people and his family, the prophet that saw mighty Jerusalem fall and Israel fall and the hand of judgment upon his people, the prophet that knew this, he said, I've got one thing that rings in my heart. I've got one thing that I can hang on to, and it is the word mercy. He knew the Jehovah God of heaven. He knew that Jesus, that God the Father, Jehovah, is a merciful God. He understood that, and read on what it says here. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now, this is the good part. This is the part that is easy to preach. This is the part that really lights my fire, turns my crank, however you want to say it. The goodness and the mercies of God, it's real. Can I say this? If you knew how good God is, you would not miss a meal. We just had Thanksgiving. Nobody likes to eat like Pastor Rader. In fact, I can honestly tell you, from last Saturday to today, a week ago yesterday to today, 5 pounds. Because I went on vacation from any kind of diet that I ever was living on in the last year and a half. 5 pounds. I can tell you the goodness of God. I can tell you of the mercy of God and testify, because I know 66 years of it. I know what God has done for me again and again and again. If I could convince you, everybody here in the auditorium, if I could take you and pop the top of your head off like that and pour in information of the mercy of God, you would never miss another meal. I didn't miss Thanksgiving. In fact, it was a meal pretty much from the time I got up to the time I went to bed. It just kind of never stopped all day long. Those mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. I haven't been able to eat potatoes in a long, long time. I just kind of nibble at them a little bit. But I loaded up on mashed potatoes. I said, hey, it's Thanksgiving. I'm thanking God for all of his bounty. The turkey, the all of the trimmings, the dressings, the apple pie, the cherry pie, the banana cream pie. Oh my goodness. And I had some again yesterday. It was Thanksgiving again yesterday at my house. And it was Thanksgiving Friday at my house as well. I never missed a meal. You know, we have meals here 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We've got 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We've got 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We got Wednesday night. We got meals. If you knew how good God is, how he's so merciful, how good his mercy is, you would not miss a meal. I'm telling you, there's no excuse you could come up with that would keep you away from feasting on the word of God and the mercy of God. Here, the prophet Jeremiah, he makes it as clear as he possibly can. Verse 23, they are new. Oh, I want to say one more thing about 22. Notice it says here in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies, plural. Over and over again, it is of the Lord's mercies. He just keeps piling it on. Just like the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He just keeps pouring it on and pouring it on. I didn't just get one mercy from God. It's every day of my life. Man, I don't get what I deserve. I get mercy from the hand of God. I get mercy because I got a wonderful Savior. His name is Jesus. If we're not for the Lord's mercies, listen, put it in context. The prophet Jeremiah, he knows heartache. He knows despair. He knows anguish. He's languishing. He's suffering torment, spiritual torment over the condition of Israel and of Jerusalem. And he said, if it was not for the Lord's mercies, if it weren't for him, those mercies, I'd have been consumed a long time ago. They never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. God knows exactly what I need for today. Here's the greatness of God. I don't have to live off yesterday's blessings. If I'm willing to follow God, that is part of the equation. You'll see it here in another couple of verses. If I'm willing to follow God, if I knew how good God was, if you knew how good God was, you would allow him to be your leader, your Lord. If you knew how good he was, you'd never miss a meal. If you knew how good God is and his mercy and his grace, man, you would never turn your back on God. And his mercies, plural, they're new every morning. God gives me exactly what I need for the day. And we don't have time to turn there, but if you were to go to Matthew chapter 6, an old familiar passage of Scripture, you'll find out that the flowers, they don't worry about tomorrow. The sparrows, they don't worry about tomorrow. They live in the now, the right now, and they're obedient to their master, and God takes care of them. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided. We'll be added unto you. God will meet your every need. His mercies are new. I got mercies this morning. They were brand new. They were multiple. And it's just what I needed for the day. The prophet said, the Old Testament prophet said, man, this is heavy. This is dark. These are dark days. Man, everything has gone wrong. Oh, yeah, all of my people, they've turned their back on Jehovah God. Everything has gone wrong. But then he said, but when I remember the mercy of God, when I remember your mercies, and how they're never ending and they're new every single morning, what a difference Jesus makes. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father in whom there is no variableness. It's a promise from God. Oh, taste. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you only understood, if I only fully understood, man, I'd never stray from God. I know he's the one that's watching over me. His mercies are new. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. That word portion means material wealth. God is enough for everything, every need that I am going to ever have. If you're searching this morning, if you're thirsting for spiritual truth, if you're longing for real peace, you know that I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ, he's our portion. He's all you're going to need. You say, preacher, what do I got to be thankful for? Jesus. And he's enough. And he'll meet your every need. He sets a wonderful table. There's a bountiful amount of food there. And it's all cooked just right. And what an opportunity to feast and to fellowship. If you just knew how good God is, his mercy is there. He's good to me. His mercy is there. It's all the time. And it is always enough. Go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I'm going to pare this down a little bit. I said too many things I didn't want to say. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. He said, chew on that for a while. Think about that. God is our refuge. God is our tower of strength. The mountains may fall into the sea, but God is still God, and his promises are forever. Over and over again, we have that promise in the Word of God. The writer, the preacher, Solomon, from the book of Ecclesiastes, said, listen, I tried everything else in the world, and it's another message altogether, but this is for somebody here this morning. Solomon said, when he got backslidden, and the preacher said, I tried it all, wine, women, song, popularity, military might, I had it all, I had everything. I had everything this world, anything of comfort this world could offer. And he said, it's all empty. There's nothing there. But when I have Jesus, amen, I have his mercies, I have everything I need. Thankful? We ought to be the most thankful people on earth. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Let's go over to Psalm 103 very quickly, 103rd Psalm. I'm going to be able to start wrapping this up. Psalm 103 verses, man, I could read the whole Psalm, but we can't. Verse 8. The prophet Jeremiah said, when I remember this one thing, I'm good. The mercy of God. I remember I deserve to go to hell. I remember I failed my God again and again and again. But Lord, when I remember your mercies that are new every morning, it says here in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. What a wonderful God. He'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Aren't you glad, listen to this, that God doesn't hold grudges? Aren't you glad that God doesn't remember how you failed him before? Aren't you glad that you can come to him and get forgiveness anew and afresh as a child of God and his mercies? He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he's willing to forgive you right where you are all over again. This world's in trouble. You know it and I know it. Let me start to bring this down. This world is in a world of hurt. A Christless society and culture is all around us. And God has pockets of people called New Testament local churches scattered throughout the country that are still waving the flag and they're still holding to the truth and they haven't compromised it in any way and in any shape. They're doing their very best. They stumble because they're made up of imperfect people, sinners saved by grace, but they're still, they keep going in the right direction and they pick themselves up and they get forgiveness from God and they move on and they keep on going. Even though it's a struggle sometimes, they keep going in the right direction. Thank God for that. One day he's coming to rescue us. One day he's coming home. He's coming to take us home. He's coming to take us to that land where there'll be no more heartache, where there'll be no more sorrow. That land where we'll know nothing but peace and fellowship, and we'll be able to serve our King. And it's going to be a wonderful time. He's coming to the rescue. I was thinking this morning, Bo got here a little bit early this morning, and old guys reminisce all the time. I said, Bo, do you ever hear of Mighty Mouse? No, I never heard of Mighty Mouse. I said, man, I got to tell you about Mighty Mouse. You know about Superman? Yeah, I know about Superman. There used to be a cartoon I used to watch as a little boy. And what was that bad guy's name? Oil Can Harry. Oil Can, remember that cat? Oil Can Harry. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Here I come to save the day. Remember that? That means that Mighty Mouse is on his way. I sang that for Bo. And Bo said to me, Papa, that's not real. I said, oh, I know that, Bo. But he said, Star Wars is. I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. There is no Mighty Mouse coming to save the day. Hey, make me feel good. How many remember that cartoon? Okay, all right, good. I think it was actually black and white, if I remember right. Isn't it funny how you remember things? Here I come. Oh, never mind. Okay, never mind. There's no Mighty Mouse coming to this earth. There's a King. His name is Jesus. And he is coming to save the day. Psalm 103, verse 8 again says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise God for that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. His mercies are great, greater than the heavens. Our God is coming and he is faithful. Go back to Lamentations one more time. Verse 25. The Lord is good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. All we've got to do, here it is. Let me just end it. The difference maker in my life and what I would be without Christ, the difference maker is the word mercy. Now, I got saved by grace. I know that. I received the mercy of God, the grace of God. I've got things. I got the righteousness of Christ, which I do not deserve. That is grace. Mercy. I'm not going to hell, and that is what I do deserve. That's the mercy of God. I received mercy, and his mercies are new every morning. And after I got born again, and I know I'm going to heaven, I live my life, and I fail God. But there's one word that is the difference maker. Mercy. That mercy, the prophet said, gives me great hope, assurance, surety, because of the mercy of God. I stand before you this morning knowing this is a preacher man that knows the mercy of God. That's the only reason I'm here. I know the mercy of God upon my life. How many times in my life I just mess things up, and were it not for the mercy of God, he'd have been done with me. But his mercies are new every morning. Isn't that good? As a child of God, there's one word that makes a difference after you're born again, to live for him every day. You say, I used to live for God. Why not do it again? The mercies of God have been provided. If you've got unsaved loved ones and family members and co-workers and people that you just have acquaintances with and they're your friends, but they're not yet born again, there's one word that'll make a difference for them as well. It's the word mercy. They can have God's mercy if they'll call out to him.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.